First Thessalonians chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Continuing tonight with our theme on healthy church culture, or not our theme, our series on healthy church culture. We'll be on part 3, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Forgot to turn my mic on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 11 and go down through verse 14. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for this time in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the special tonight, the music. Just thank you, Lord, for that, the good hymns. Thank you, Lord, for those. Love that hymn book. And thank you, Lord, for it. And as we open up your word and read and preach and teach from it, just ask you, Lord, to also bless this time. And I'll give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we looked at part one, which was comforting one another. Part two was edifying one another. And part three is knowing and esteeming laborers within the church. That's what we're looking at tonight. And the Apostle Paul uses strong terminology here. He uses the word beseech. The word beseech means to entreat, to supplicate, to implore, to ask, or pray with urgency. Paul is saying essentially this is important. The word beseech is used 64 times in your King James Bible. And in every instance of the use of this word, it is regarding serious matters. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, in essence, you the church, you the congregation, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. All of those who the Lord has placed over you, the word know precedes the following verse. So the following challenge, you must know them and know who they are in order to esteem them. The church leadership, those who are servants within the church, I encourage you to know them, to know who they are. You know, one thing I can guarantee you is that those who labor among you and for you are not laboring among you and for you because it's always easy to do it. I promise you this, not everyone in a position of service within this church always wants to serve. They will be tired at times. They will be irritated at times. They will be down and out at times. They will be downtrodden at times. Those who we serve can wear us thin. If it were easy, then everybody would be doing it. The average stay of a pastor wouldn't be 2 years if it was easy. There wouldn't be turnover rates in leadership positions likened to the world if it was easy. If it were easy and not demanding at times, then everybody would be doing it. I wouldn't hear all the time about those who say God called them to pastor, and they did for 2 to 3 years, and they never pastored another church again, or 5 years or 7 years to never preach again. I remember when I got to Caesarea, there was two different contractors that came by for different things that we had to do at the church. One of them was with pest control, but both of them had a similar story. God had called them to preach, had called them to pastor. And they pastored a church for 4 or 5 years, one of them 7 years, and then got out of the ministry entirely. And now they were up later on in years and had just gotten completely away from the ministry. And I felt as though the Lord, right off the bat in week one, was telling me, if you're going to last in the ministry, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to rely on me. You're going to have to depend on me. If not, you're going to be one of them. I encourage you this evening also to be easy to serve, be easy to lead, be easy to minister to. I've said this before, and sometimes folks either agree or disagree. There seems to be no middle ground sometimes. But for every pastor, that somebody would say, you know what, he's just hard, he's harsh, he's critical. I want you to know, yes, they are responsible. That pastor is responsible before God for who he is. But if we're not careful, there's a group of people that help make him that way. And I tell you what, we've crossed that at times, even in the ministry. And that's where the challenge is as preachers and pastors and workers within the church, not to allow the difficulties and the trials in ministry to give you a hard heart. I encourage you this evening, again, be easy to serve. Be easy to lead. Be easy to minister to. Your Sunday school teachers, junior church staff, music ministry, cleaning, decorations, maintenance, those who count the money, those who mow the grass, sound booth, kitchen, and fellowships. Know who the folks are who labor among you. Those who help make it all happen. Know who they are. We have a good church, I believe, in recognizing those who serve in the church, but we need reminded, and also to have a healthy church culture and climate, we need to know who the laborers are among us. We need to know who God is using to bring it all together whenever we gather. If you think about it, we don't just gather and poof, we have a choir. It's not the way it happens. And poof, they have something to sing. We don't gather on Sunday and just out of thin air, there's a Sunday school lesson or a message or poof, and the building has been cleaned. Or just out of thin air, we have sound. No, we have those who labor among us. Sometimes it becomes easy to gather and not think about what goes on behind the scenes and who does it. And what they do and go through in order to make it happen. The various servants that we have in this church prepare for what they do. And you should prepare. We don't gather and just wing it. You aren't to just wing your Sunday school lesson, wing your special, wing your service to God. You should prepare. You should be ready. And the Bible says that there is something that we must do as a local body of believers. This is not just you towards me, but also me towards you. We are to esteem those who labor among us very highly in love. Esteem means to elevate. Not in idolatry. Not above God. I could explain it this way. It's kind of like the American flag and then other flags. You can esteem the flag of Texas, which is to elevate the flag of Texas. But the flag of Texas is to never be esteemed higher than the flag of the United States of America. You are to esteem me, which is to elevate, and I am to esteem you, which is to elevate, but we are not to esteem one another higher than we do God. We do recognize that sadly within Christianity, preachers and various spiritual leaders have been elevated to a God-like status. How do we know? When your spiritual leaders... How do you know they've taken on a godlike status? Well, for one, by and large, the congregation has no relationship with God, but they follow the pastor. Also, if the pastor or other spiritual leaders can guide others outside of this Bible and others follow. Now, that borderlines Catholicism. Even while knowing their leadership detours from the scripture, you esteem man over God at this point. And we are not to elevate our spiritual leaders to positions of idolatry. We're not to be like that. But we are to recognize them as they serve you and love them for what they do for you. Everyone in this church that serves first and foremost for God, but also with you in mind. They do it for you, to be a blessing to you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you in your worship to the Lord, to help you in your walk with the Lord, but also so that you can have clean and well-stocked restrooms, so that you have a clean pew, so the nursery is clean, so the church is decorated nicely, so the property is maintained, so the sound booth is operational. Will there be issues in these areas at times? Absolutely. Will they be perfect? No, they'll not. Why not? Human hands, human ingenuity, human memory, human inconsistencies, human, I never thought about it. You know how many times, sometimes you can put all the planning you want to into an event. but you have to make adaptions to the event once it gets going, because there was things that, for one, you just couldn't account for until you were there. And sometimes that's the way it is. And sometimes if we're not careful, we're going to expect perfect from our church servants. But you cannot expect perfection from humanity. You can't do that. Don't go to the restaurant either and expect perfection from the staff. They're human. They're human. They're doing the best. Without a doubt, they're doing the best they can. This is a side note. We got tracks back there on the track rack, and right now my name's not on them. But we're getting ready to get some tracks, some nice looking tracks and stuff with the church on it and stuff and things like that. Nice little map on the back, things like that. Getting ready to do that. But please don't give people a hard time and leave a track at the restaurant with the church name on it, my name on it. Don't do that. You know, but when we get back down to the church, we can't expect perfection from our servants. We can't. Things are going to go wrong. People are going to mess up on their singing specials. It's going to happen. I'm going to mess up in my preaching. The devil gives me a highlight reel every Sunday night of my mistakes and the things that I could have done better and the things I could have said. I get a highlight reel of it. The devil makes sure to point them all out to me, to point out everything I saw during the day that did not go right. Even something that somebody else might have done that could have done better. The devil makes sure that on Sunday night, he reminds me of all of it. For the purpose of trying to get me down on myself, and for the purpose of trying to get me down on other people. See, the devil's not going to give us an attaboy or an attagirl for doing the Lord's work. You're just not going to get that. You do something for God, the devil's going to come after you on the backside of it, and he's going to make you feel low as dirt. That's just the way it is. That's the way the devil works. But we think about it. We cannot expect perfection from our servants. Mistakes will happen. But our challenge here this evening is not to esteem them if they meet our expectations, or esteem them if they don't make any mistakes, or esteem them, again, if they meet our level of expectations. And by the way, as the pastor, those who serve the church are to be worried about my expectations in their service and not others. See, it gets hard, real hard for people to serve in the church when they feel like they have 25 authorities. But they don't. We just need everybody to remember that the servants in the church has one authority in the church. They serve you under me. They don't serve you under you. And I'll defend those who serve in our church. For one, it's hard to get workers, and it's the right thing to do. I'm their pastor too. Those who are in positions of service in the church, I'm their pastor. I'll protect everybody in this church, which means even if I have to defend the sheep from the sheep, I'm going to defend the sheep from the sheep. I want to make sure that they all have the tools they need to perform the ministry that God has called them to as hassle-free as possible, as comfortable as possible. I want to make sure they're also appreciated by me and by others for what they do. That they're esteemed by me, that they're elevated, that they are esteemed by you and elevated. Number one, because the Bible commands it, but also because they don't have to do it. They don't have to. They don't have to clean. They don't have to teach. Y'all don't have to deal with my kids. Y'all don't have to, but you do. And not just mine, but the other kids. You don't have to do that. They don't have to put up with you. And if I constantly give them a hard time, and I won't, they don't have to put up with me either. They could be like many and say, I'll let somebody else do it. But they don't. They do it. And I'll tell you what I've seen. Sometimes those who do the most, it is the least convenient for them to serve. But they don't make excuses. So recognize that and honor those. That there was a lady at Caesarea. There'd be times where we would have, different things going on in our family or something. And there was a meal list. And this lady, she'd grab out her walker. She'd go to the store. She'd walk around that store with the walker and grab the food, go back home, make the meal, get back in that van with the walker, drive it over to the house, and want to get out and bring it to us to the door with the walker. And you know what? She was a blessing to the church and an encouragement to the church because when... Now, honestly, it was hard for me at times to accept it. It was because I felt bad for her. I did. I felt bad that she was going through all of that to be a blessing. And then it's almost like the Lord, I had to die to myself. It's what it was. And allow the Lord to use her to be a blessing because she wanted to be a blessing. Be careful that we don't rob people of a blessing because we think they shouldn't be doing something or we think they're incapable of doing something. Amen. Honor those. We are to esteem those who labor among us. Esteem those who are over you in the Lord. Then it goes into another aspect here. To those that have the rule over you in the Lord and admonish you. The word admonish means to counsel against wrong practices. To caution or advise. The word despise is to have a low opinion of. The Bible says that we are to esteem those that labor among us, that are over us in the Lord. Now here, this could go without saying, but I want to say, if you don't esteem them, the first part, you won't esteem the second part, which is their counsel. There are people that I know that I despise. And that may sound like a strong word, a strong phrase, but keep in mind, to despise is to have a low opinion of. There are some people, I guarantee you, around this room that you can think of somebody that you have a low opinion of. You just don't have a high opinion of them. You don't really respect them. You may be kind to them. You may be nice to them. You may love them, but you don't necessarily have a deeply rooted respect for them. So to despise is to have a low opinion of. You don't really elevate them for one reason or another. Those who you don't elevate, you won't elevate what comes from them either. So when we see the word admonish, it means to counsel against wrong practices, to caution or advise. If we don't esteem those who labor among us, we won't esteem their admonishing, which means we won't esteem their counsel. We won't esteem their correction. So if you don't think highly of them, you're not going to think highly of their counsel. There are some people that if they tried to counsel me, it's going to go one ear and out the other. That's just the way it is, because I do not esteem them. And again, we all have those here tonight. So you are to have a high opinion of church leadership and their counsel that is given. Now, this is a challenge to church leadership also, because if your position, because of your position, people will naturally at times take heed to you. They will esteem your counsel, which means it had better be good counsel. I've met folks in church at times that I couldn't put into leadership positions because of the counsel that they'd give. I can't promote them. To promote them would be to promote their counsel. I couldn't give them a voice in the church. I can't, based off their promotion, tell others, yes, come to them because of the counsel that they would give. Say, for example, someone comes to them, a lady, husband's a jerk, not a very nice guy at all, verbally abusive. And then the counsel to them would be, okay, well, here's what you do. Go get you a good and heavy cast iron skillet and give him one upside the head. That's not good counsel. And I know believers, good intention and all, that gives bad counsel from their flesh. You may say, how do you know it's flesh? Because I know what my flesh would say. And I have to stop myself. Somebody told me some time ago, he and his wife are separated. She lives in another state with someone else. And he found out that she got beat up. The first thing that came to my mind, I didn't say it, shouldn't say it, couldn't say it. But what came to my mind is, well, you need to go down there and figure out who it is and work them over. See, when our flesh wants to speak, we can't let it. It has nothing good to say. And when someone's flesh is always speaking, it's an indicator that one's life, that they dwell in the flesh. Their flesh is alive and well. And one sign the flesh is alive and well is when it's talking, you can hear it. You know, sometimes if we just run what we're saying through the filter of the Holy Spirit, we'll know whether or not it's of God or if it's of us. Now, this is a challenge for us, those who advise others, those who counsel others. It needs to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled counsel from God. In verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. For their work's sake, it says, they serve you. In part, they do it for you. They teach for you, they preach for you, they sing for you, they labor of love for you. You know, when God calls a man to a church to be their pastor, he calls him to a people. He calls him to shepherd a people, to love a people, to care for a people, to nurture a people, to pastor them, to lead them. It's a labor of love for you. And if we're going to have a healthy church culture, we've got to be reminded of these truths. It's a two-way street. I must esteem you, and you must esteem me. We must esteem one another. That's the important thing about this. And again, I encourage you, as it goes back to the beginning, and tonight was a little bit of a quicker message than normal, and I think the beginning part of the service was a little bit quicker than normal, because I'm out of material here tonight, and kind of flew through that a little bit, but I encourage you as we move forward as a church, I encourage you to know those. Get to know them, because they love you, and they love your kids, and they love your teenagers. And I encourage you, get to know them, get to know who they are, get to know them, and then also esteem them for what they do, and love them. Amen. Love them. For they're trying to please God, and again, they're also trying to serve you, and it is for you. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you.